Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Last night I was talking about how Jesus touches us by his healing power and his grace. And yesterday morning I talked about how Jesus touches us through prayer. And this morning I want to talk about how Jesus touches us through suffering. I want to try to give a balance. Last night I talked about healing, and I asked you to absorb that healing and soak that in. But God works through healing, but he also works through suffering. And I've discovered that in my own life. And if you look at any of the saints, they've all suffered greatly. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Ignatius of Antioch, a great saint who lived early on in Christendom. And he gave his life for Christ, and thus I wear the color of red, blood. And any of your favorite saints have suffered, St. Francis of Assisi, or St. Teresa, our founder, St. Paul of the Cross, for example, the founder of the Passionists. He lived to be 81 years old, but for 50 years, you know, I was talking about prayer yesterday, for 50 years he had a dry prayer life, and he suffered with his prayer life, but he persevered, and he continued with it, and it made him a great spiritual counselor. Well, as Passionists, we have a very special devotion, and our devotion is to our Mother of Sorrows. I want to talk a little bit about Mary today, because as I talk about suffering, certainly Mary suffered. In fact, we have a retreat center in Los Angeles, in Sierra Madre, just outside Los Angeles. Very beautiful retreat center overlooking the San Gabriel Valley. It's in a place called Sierra Madre. Of course, we have one in Citrus Heights, Sacramento, and we also have one in Detroit. We have one in Houston, where I live. But this retreat center in Sierra Madre is called Madre Dolorosa, our Mother of Sorrows. And it's a very beautiful retreat center, as I said, looking out at Los Angeles, and we oftentimes have meetings there, and I go there, and I love to pray there. I think of all the millions of people down in the valley and what they're going through. And at Madre Dolorosa, there's a very beautiful garden. It's called Mary's Garden, and it's devoted to the seven sorrows of Mary. Of course, you know some of the sorrows of Mary, like the flight into Egypt, finding the child Jesus in the temple. And it's all done in mosaics, the various different sorrows of Mary. And right at the beginning is this prophecy of Simeon. You remember Simeon took the child Jesus in his arms, and he said, you know, praise God for it. And then he looked at Mary and he said, you know what, a sword is going to pierce your soul. And I remember in the mosaic you could see this golden sword right in front of Mary's heart. So Mary, a woman that we venerate and uphold so greatly in the church, was a woman who suffered greatly. And she's our mother. And when I'm on the road, I always hear from mothers and the various sorrows that they're going through. And this homily this morning is for men and women, but especially for mothers here this morning. In fact, I want to ask, if you're a mother or a grandmother, raise your hand. Okay, maybe I should have said if you're not a grandmother or a mother, raise your hand. Because just about all of you are, and I reverence your vocation. And when people come to me, see, I hear from mothers and grandmothers in various churches where I go, they come to me confession or talking, and many of them will talk about children that have left the faith, husbands that have died, some of them have lost children to death already. I think there's no greater sorrow than a mother that has lost a child to death. Others of them are going through relationship problems or monetary problems or struggles in the family, you know, whatever it is. And I always look at the woman when she's talking to me and I say, you know what? Your suffering is related to your vocation. You have to understand that. You chose to follow Christ by getting married and raising children. That's your vocation. My vocation is a priest. You know, I live in a monastery. I have to deal with the guys that I live with. And I preach the gospel. That's my vocation. Now, your vocation is to be faithful in your marriage, to raise the children, and to be a woman of God. And oftentimes, you know, people get so caught up in their suffering, they forget to see that it's for following Christ. And I try to help them to see that, you know what, you're following Jesus, and that's why you're suffering. And God will bring good out of your suffering if you'll let Him. I think we heard the story recently about this young girl that was shot in Colorado. Her name was Emily. Some man burst into her schoolroom and shot her. And now her family is asking people to do random acts of kindness because of that random act of violence in her memory. And imagine the devastation of her mother losing that little girl. Then about 2 weeks ago, another gunman burst into an Amish schoolhouse. And he went in there and he shot five little girls. And can you imagine that Amish community and the forgiveness and the hardship that they're going through? And what about the mothers and the fathers of that little girl, of those little girls that were killed? Imagine the devastation. Imagine the hurt, the pain, the sword that pierces their soul. And it's all because they're trying to follow Christ the best they can, and this suffering happened. I'm just trying to lay the foundation here, and I'm talking first about some of the suffering. And as I say that, I want to tell you, you know what, there's joys with motherhood too. It's not just all suffering. You know, certainly you have the joy of raising your children. You have the joy of being married. You have the joy of family. You have the celebration of being together. And there's so many good things that God brings. But let's face it, you know, push comes to shove. Every one of you could get up here and talk about children who have left the faith, the trials of suffering that you have, you know, and all the different things that goes into the vocation. And I guess as I talk about motherhood, I could talk about fatherhood also. So there's all kinds of a variety of different things that goes into it. But what I want to say is that, you know what? God will bring good out of the suffering. God knows what you're going through. Back last summer, I preached a novena in New Orleans. And I had an interesting request. You know, it was a beautiful novena, 9 days. It was a St. Anne novena. And I was there, you know, mission only lasts for 4 or 5 days, but I was there for 9 days. And it was a big challenge. And I remember one of the women had read my book called Death, the Final Surrender before I came to preach in the novena. And you may have seen it on the table and you probably thought, why did Father Cedric write a book about death? Now, that's kind of a strange thing. And what does he know about death anyway? And just to let you know, when I was 19 years old, I had two near-death experiences where literally I left my body, went to God, and came back. And I believe that God showed me exactly what's going to happen when we die. I think that that book ought to be read by every person on the face of this earth, because many people are afraid of death and they don't know what's going to happen at death. Well, for some reason, I know the reason that I could share it with other people. God allowed me to see what's going to happen. And in detail, I write about the death experience. So a mother had read that book, and she called me and said, Father Cedric, we have a group of grieving mothers, all mothers who have lost their children, a child, either to suicide or death in some way, and we want you to give us a talk after your novena talk just to the group of mothers about your book, Death, the Final Surrender. So I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So after my talk, you know, we gathered, and I invited anybody else that wanted to stay. There were almost this many people at that talk. And I'd say 50 of them were mothers who had lost their children in that one parish. And we talked about the death experiences I did for my book, and it was very interesting. And then I left it open for questions, knowing that all had lost their children. Most had lost a child. And I could see the devastation and the hurt. Some of the women were crying, grieving, hurting, you know, because of the loss of their child. And I remember one woman raised her hand and asked about suicide and what's going to happen to my son who committed suicide. And really quickly, I talked about, you know, just kind of like 911, when the building's burning, sometimes you got to jump out. And I don't think God would condemn a person who jumps out of a burning building. And that's the way I see suicide, that there's such turmoil in a person's life that they jump. And then the question that I wanted to talk about specifically had to do with a woman raised her hand and said, Father, you know, I so want to know that my son is okay that I want to go to a psychic to make contact with him. Is that okay? Now, we were in New Orleans. You know, New Orleans, if you've ever been there, you know, the psychics abound everywhere. So, you know, as a Catholic priest, I said, you know, I see your pain, and I know you're grieving, but I said, please don't go to a psychic. That's not God's way. God's way is to pray and to grieve well. God's way is to go to Mary, who will lead you to Jesus. And what I want to say is that, you know, Mary has been through it. And if we do it God's way, we can grieve well and we can handle our suffering well. Mary has experienced the sword in her soul because of her vocation. And I could see the sword piercing all those women who had lost their children and how hard it was for them. So I said, you know, you do it God's way, and God will bring meaning out of it. God will help you. God will touch you and bless you. So that's the foundation that I want to lay here this morning, that all of us suffer. You know, whether you're a mother that lost a child or a mother that's dealing with a child in various ways, their behavior, you know, maybe they married somebody you didn't want them to marry, or they're in a different religion. I hear that a lot. I'll talk about that in a minute. But the bottom line is that whether you're a mother or a father or a single person or a priest, we all suffer. And I believe that Mary intercedes for us, for God to touch us in our pain, and that suffering is part and parcel of life. In fact, Buddha, I don't often quote Buddha, but the first of his Four Noble Truths is, life is suffering. So it's something we can't escape, and I don't think we ought to deny it. We ought to look at it and say, what is it? And can we get something out of it? I remember when I went to I told you I studied in Rome. When I went to St. Peter's Basilica, as soon as you walk in the doors on the right-hand side, you walk in St. Peter's and you look and there's this beautiful statue. You'll know because all the people go over there as soon as they walk in, if you've ever been to Rome. And it's the statue of the Pietà. The Pietà, of course, is Mary holding the body of her dead son right after he was crucified when Jesus was taken down from the cross. And if you look really closely, and everybody loves to look at it, and many tears are shed at that beautiful Pietà. Now, of course, there's a plate glass window in front of it because some crazy guy with a hammer tried to destroy it, if you remember, years ago. Well, anyway, you see a picture of a very young woman, a portrait, a sculpture of a very young woman, the Virgin Mary, holding the body of Jesus, her dead son. And can you imagine the pain and the sorrow and the hurt of Mary as she had to deal with that tragedy in her life? Well, the interesting thing is, if you look really closely, her lap is not the size of a normal woman. And this was pointed out to me by our art appreciation person. The lap is really huge. It's almost the lap of a very heavy woman. And that's been interpreted as Michelangelo sculpted it that way because Mary is not only holding the body of her dead son, but she's embracing the whole world in their suffering. She's our mother. She's our intercessor. And what I like to say is, you know what? No matter what you're going through as a mother or a father, she's been through it. And she intercedes for us. And she can help us. That's why I say, don't go to psychics. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't look for your horoscope and try to figure all that out. Do it God's way, and watch how God will touch you. We have a great intercessor. That's why our church has always upheld Mary for all these years, the 2,000-year tradition of the church, because she intercedes for us. She knows the pain. She knows the hardship of being a mother and the vocation that that entails. You know, I remember my mom, for example. I'm thinking about, you know, first of all, I've laid the foundation of suffering that we all have to go through. Now I'm looking at areas how God will help us in it. First of all, we have an intercessor, someone who's been through it. And that alone helps. And Jesus himself has been through it. He's a high priest who has compassion. He can sympathize because he's been through the pain. Then I think about my mom. You know, 6 years ago this month, I was preaching a mission in West Hartford, Connecticut. And my mom and dad had flown up from Florida to be at the mission. They were my biggest supporters. They always laughed at my jokes, so I appreciated that. And they would always be out there, and they'd love to hear me preach. Of course, I was real nervous and everything when they were there, but did okay. Well, anyway, during that mission, to make a long story short, in his sleep, my dad died during the mission. Hope none of that happens to you here today. But it was a tremendous shock to us all. And I remember I was there that morning when my dad passed. And they had been married for 54 years. My mom was jello. I mean, she was crying. She was grieving. She didn't even know how to stand up. I had to hold her. I was just glad I was there for her. Well, I remember, you know, that was 6 years ago, but 6 years later, my mom has grieved and moved on. And, you know, I don't mean this in any kind of a mean way to my mom, because I love my mom more than life, but my mom was very dependent on Dad. You know, Dad, the way that Dad used to love us was to spoil us. He would give us everything. And, you know, that's good in one way, but in another way, it's not good, because what you do is you become dependent on the person doing the giving. My mom was like that. Dad would do the driving, do the shopping, do everything, and Mom just kind of was dependent on him. Well, now, she is her own person. She has her own house. She's 82 years old. She works on the yard all the time, makes the financial decisions. I'm so proud of her that she moved on. You see, I believe that suffering, Florida is full of people who are widows and widowers, and I guess California too. And, you know, she had a choice to make. I'm so proud of her. She had a choice to make, either to be bitter or better, to have a breakdown, and that's the way I thought she was going to go, or to have a breakthrough. And through faith, through her faith in God, she chose to be better, even though she lost her husband. And again, that was her vocation, that was her call. And I believe that God worked in her life in that beautiful way through the loss of my dad. And it hurt me too, but I don't want to spend time talking about me. So what I want to say is, you know, maybe you've lost somebody and you've got to grieve, yes, but you've got to move on. And that loss can actually make you better instead of bitter, if you choose it. Then I remember, you know, raising the children, I had two older sisters and myself. And I remember something very devastating happening to my mom, and I hear this from a lot of parents. Most of the children that you raise probably don't go to church. And that is a single source of consternation for most parents. And what really hurts parents is not only do they not go to church, they go to other denominations. It's like, gee, I raised you Catholic. What are you doing going to that born-again church? Or, you know, I raised you Catholic. What are you doing becoming a Mormon? Well, you know, that happened to my sister. Not that she became a Mormon, but she dated somebody in high school. And the person that she dated, she ended up marrying. And the person that she married was a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, you've had one of those come to your door? And my sister became a Jehovah's Witness. Well, you know, any other religion but that. That's what my parents would say, because, you know, they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate birthdays. And now all the grandchildren, I think you're getting the picture. Now all the grandchildren, they can't give them presents. And remember how my parents were? They loved to spoil you. And so, you know, they just gave them all to me. I loved it. But I remember my parents talking long and hard, you know, all these different conversations about how this happened. And you know what? They couldn't change it. They wanted to change the situation, but they couldn't, and it hurt. And so what my mother learned, and my father also, was acceptance. See, I think suffering teaches us acceptance, and that we're not in control, and that we can't always have it our way. And that's the way we want to be. When we come out of our mother's womb, it's like, you know, we're crying, what about me, and, you know, give me this and give me that. You grow up, and I think the vocation of parenthood, motherhood, getting married, is a death to self. There will be suffering, and I think mothers are some of the most generous, giving people on earth. That's an awesome vocation. And what my mom had to learn was acceptance. Now I'm learning it, you're learning it, and suffering teaches it, if you'll let it. Some people will just fight their suffering all the time. So, you know, if you have children, don't give up on them, of course, if they're not going to church. But you know what? Some of them have gone to other churches. You got to accept that. You can't change them. You live your life the best you can, and you keep praying for them. But acceptance is key in my mind. So, you know, suffering comes, but God uses it to make us better. And, you know, that was the premise of my first book, Live Passionately. I talk about how the passion of Christ brings about a change in us. And on the front front cover, I put a butterfly. Because a butterfly, as you know, is something that gets transformed. It starts off as a little worm, it goes into a cocoon, and then it becomes something different. And the worm has to fight its way out of the cocoon to make it different. Now, a little bit about me really quickly. 3 months ago, I went to the doctor just to have my physical exam. And I just go to get my cholesterol tested and things like that, you know, because I try to stay healthy. I run, you know, I play golf. I do everything I can to stay healthy. But in my family, you know, we have high cholesterol, so I make sure that every year I get that checked and I try to eat well. Well, I went to the doctor and I said, "Doc, you know, just to let you know something, you know, this is kind of strange. I wasn't even going to tell you, but for the last couple months, I've been having, like, memory problems." And, you know, that's not good for a guy like me that walks around trying to preach from memory, right? And, like, I've been forgetting little things. For example, when I was presiding one time, I forgot to bring the sacramentary with me. I got up to the altar, it's not there. And I go, "I've never forgot that in my life. You know, what's weird? That's weird." Or I'd put gas in my car, and then I go to get it washed, and I forgot to put the cap on the gas tank. It's like just little stuff that you don't even think about I was forgetting. So he said, "All right, let me check your blood." We check my blood, make a long story short. He said, "You have thyroid problems." I go, "Thyroid problems? What's that?" You know? Well, it turns out that your thyroid is a little gland right here on either side of your Adam's apple. And it produces a hormone that regulates things like memory, depression, weight gain. You know, oftentimes women have this problem. Fewer men do, but I do. And you can be hyperthyroid, that's when you get too much hormone, or hypothyroid, that's when you don't get enough. I'm hypothyroid. So I said, "Well, what does this mean?" He said, "Well, you got to have to take a pill every day for the rest of your life." It's all great. So now I'm among the select few that have to take a pill every day of their life. And it's a little hormone replacement pill. Well, anyway, I was talking about this at one of my missions just last month. You know, since I had it, when I was talking about suffering. And a woman in the back of church came up to me. She said, "Father Cedric, I'm a hypothyroid also. You know, I have that same thing you do. You know, I have to take a pill every day. I have to watch my weight and, you know, that whole thing." And I looked at her and I realized something. You know what? I never would have met her had I not talked about my thyroid gland. And we had an instant bonding. I mean, it was just like, because we were going through the same suffering, there was this like union that we had between each other, and I wouldn't have even have met her had I not had this. And what I want to say about suffering is, when you suffer, it gives you instant compassion with somebody else. And I think that's one of the roles of suffering, that it helps you to bond with other people that are going through either the same thing or something different. Now, you know, I don't have heart disease or anything like that, but you know what? I've got something, and it helps me to bond with those who do. That's how you learn compassion. The word compassion means passion, suffer, come with. You suffer with. And the interesting thing is, I want to propose to you that your suffering can be a means of you having a bonding with God. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus went through the passion. In your suffering, you can unite your suffering to His and have a mystical union. This is something our founder taught us. You can have mystical union with Christ just through your pain. So don't deny your pain. Use it to make you closer to God. It's a meeting tent. For example, I'll be in a rectory and I'll feel out of control with the food and, you know, the shower won't work and, you know, the hard bed or, you know, whatever it is. And I'll think about Jesus and how He suffered for me. And there's a union there that you can never get on a mountaintop. So don't waste your pain. Don't waste your suffering. It's for a reason. And then really quickly, I think about, so now I'm trying to list many different ways that suffering can help you and the meaning of suffering. And I've talked about compassion. I've talked about acceptance. I've talked about growing as a person. I've talked about mystical union with God. See, these are all things that suffering brings. God can touch you in it. Then I remember one of our priests, one of our Passionist priests. He was one of my mentors. Big, tall Italian. Taller than me, better looking than me, more Italian than me. And very charismatic, very gifted. Great preacher. You know, I used to watch him and smile and say, "Someday I want to be like that," you know. And Well, at age 54, he contacted cancer. And, you know, he had it all going for him. He was a wonderful preacher, great mentor, just a fine person. Well, Father Jim died this year, and he died of cancer at age 54, but not without about a year of suffering in bed. And I remember visiting him about 2 months before he died, and he was laying there in bed, and I saw what the suffering had done to him, how humble he had become, how meek he had become. And in a very soft voice, he asked me for my blessing. And for Jim to do that, it was just like, you know, I couldn't have ever imagined, you know, him asking me for my blessing. And what I want to say is that I think when Jim went through all that suffering and those trials, God was working in his soul. God was touching him. God was purifying him. And God was sanctifying him. And all of us have pride and we have arrogance. We have selfishness. And what God is after is turning selfishness into selflessness. That's why I love mothers. I think they're some of the most selfless people on earth, and fathers. And he's trying to take the pride and bring it into humility. And so how does God touch us? He touches us in many different ways, but one of the ways that we can't deny is through suffering. So don't waste your suffering. Look at it and let it purify you. Let God use it to help you to grow. Instead of denying it like the world does and taking aspirin, I'm not saying if you don't, you know, if you have a headache, don't take an aspirin. What I'm saying is don't deny it. Look at it and let it help you to grow. Well, let me end with a little bit of hope here. I remember when Jesus talked about his sufferings, when he had his passion predictions, he said, the Son of Man is going to suffer. He's going to be rejected. He will be crucified. And he will rise.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.